Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Denver's home for today's comedy. Comedy 103.1 is Big Mike. I'm pretty damn excited for this man in studio. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He was on Dancing with the Stars this weekend. He's at Comedy Works South of the Landmark. Oh, and he was part of this show called Jackass. You might know it. It's Steve-O. What's up, man?
Oh, dude. How about this? A comedy station specifically? What, do you play stand-up on the radio?
24-7 stand-up, man.
And it's on the FM dial?
It's on the FM dial. Comedy 103.1.
Never heard of that.
Non-stop. Oh, it's been awesome, man. I'm surprised it hasn't shown up in more markets, but it's been doing great out here and doing awesome.
That's great.
Man.
Congrats, bro.
I appreciate that. Welcome to the Mile High City.
Well, thanks for welcoming me, dude. It's good to be here.
I have to ask, what happened, man? What?
I have a new project I'm working on, and I'm really swinging for the fence. So
okay.
I went ahead and did one of the dumbest stunts of my life, and I'm thrilled that... I'm thrilled that I did. Of course, I do have serious burns all over my arms and my back. I've from my elbow up on both arms, I've lost all the skin.
Oh man!
And all the skin from the elbow down on both arms is on its way out.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah.
It's only second degree burns.
Okay. Well, and what's more impressive is, despite being bandaged up and having all that, you're still here working.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
Still here.
This is not gonna slow me down the tiniest bit.
Oh,
I'm so stoked.
Yeah, we got
it. Since it's a comedy station, I might as well tell you that, I got my first comedy special is on Showtime. You can see it at Showtime on demand. People don't want to accept me as a comedian a lot. Even Mark Maron, I sat down with him, and he found his own way to just bring me on his podcast to sit me down and tell me that I'm not a comedian.
Oh.
You know, but to his credit, he did it in a way that I kind of respected.
Right. Yeah.
And I had a great talk with him, and overall, it was a wonderful experience. Had nothing but positive feedback.
Yeah.
But I only bring him up and reference that because there are some people that just don't want to accept me as a stand-up, and that's fine with me because I'm not here to emulate anybody, and... I take everything seriously that I do. I mean, I don't even need anybody's approval,
Well, and I imagine for not mostly most comedians, but most people, they know you from the Jackass of the world, the shows you've done, the movies, and, they've just seen you in the stunts and the pranks and all that. And so if that's all they've seen for 15 years, they're like, oh, now you're going to do stand-up. But it's but even before Jackass, you were a showman. Like you were.
Oh, well, you see, the thing is, the stand-up comedy is another branch on the tree of attention whoring.
Yeah.
And when it comes to attention whoring, I'm the darn trunk there of that tree. Like, there's no way around it. And it's mine, dude. Coming into it, the first time I ever did stand up was 11 years ago, 2006 summer. Jackass number 2 was starting to be promoted. You know, I was kind of hot at the moment. And this guy asked me to go do one of my stunts at the Laugh Factory on the Sunset Strip.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll do it, you know. I was loaded on drugs. I didn't give any thought to what I was going to do. I just showed up like, yeah, I got this.
Yeah.
And when I walked in, something crazy happened. I had no idea for a stunt. And when I just, looked at the stage and, what was going on, I don't know that I had ever been to a comedy club before that. And I just was like, dude, the first thing that came to me is there's nothing I could possibly do that would be crazier than trying that.
I was
just like, immediately as I thought of it, was just like, oh God, this is scary. Oh my God, I'm going to do that. And I got there when the show started. I had plenty of time before it was my turn to get on stage. And I just sat there just racking my brains. Like, oh dude, what am I going to say to try to get laughs? Oh my God, this is scary. And when it was my turn, I got on stage. I can't imagine I was on stage for more than 3 minutes.
Yeah.
But the sense, and it was overwhelming, was that people were, they were excited to see me.
Right.
And really, I could sense that they were rooting for me.
Yeah.
There's just they're there to have a good time. They want to be entertained. They're excited to see me. They're rooting for me to do well. They're just on my side. Yeah. And I had come up in the short time with a few things that actually got some laughs. And I was just like, oh my God, when I walked off that stage, I had a really favorable first experience with
it. Nice.
And, thank God I kept it short, you know? but just overall, I was like, man, wow. You know, I felt like...
So your first time was almost just by accident. It was
totally by accident. Nice. And my second time, but I didn't have that first time. I scheduled my return before leaving the club.
Oh, cool.
Right. And for my return, I didn't tell any of the whatever I came up with the previous time. I wrote like a whole set. I think it ran like 8 minutes. Uh-huh. And I actually wrote jokes and they worked to a degree, you know, like, mm-hmm. I got some laughs and what I did was because I was prepared, I had my buddy, film it. Uh-huh. And so I did that 8 minute set and I posted it on YouTube right at the first time out of the gates. And I was thrilled with it because I got laughs,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But because I had posted it on YouTube, I thought, okay, I've retired that material. I've retired that material. And so I'm going to go back. I'm on fire. I'm good at this. And I went back and I hadn't written a bunch of stuff. And I just felt like overconfident. I thought, oh man, I can just get on stage and I'll be good. I got on stage and I died, man. I got on stage without being prepared and I died. I had like some kind of pride that I wouldn't repeat a joke ever, uh-huh. you know, like whatever that is. And I died and then I went again, I died again. And then I just got scared and I was too loaded on drugs. So,
yeah.
So it wasn't until Jackass 3D was coming out. I'd been sober for 2 years. I would there was no reason for me to go to a nightclub or a bar. That's just off the table for me.
Right.
Like sober dudes don't need to be there, but there's every reason for me to go to a comedy club. That was like my go-to activity, you know, with chicks, with whatever. And every time I sat in the comedy club, I'm looking at the stage thinking, damn, I should be on that stage. You know?
Right.
I should be up there. And then my very first interview, before like the machine really revved up for Jackass 3D, I went to this interview and they were like cycling people through.
Uh-huh.
And when I got there, they're like, oh, Dane Cook's in there, man. Just barge into his interview. So I go in there and I'm like, yo, what's up, man? He's like, you know, like kind of psyched to see me. And I just sit down and go, dude, you know, I've dabbled in stand-up before and I really have been thinking about it a lot and I want to dive in and I want to get serious about it. And Dane Cook says, cool, man, we'll get you up on the improv. He says, I'll give you my number. We'll get you up on stage at the improv next week. So I knew it. I mean, I knew it. I'd written jokes before.
Yeah.
And I just like, he gave me his number. I just wrote and wrote and rewrote. I went to an open mic. Sure enough, I went to the improv. I was like two comics after Sarah Silverman, like immediately before Dane Cook, like after his set, we sat down and he just gave me notes. And the first thing he said was, I'm not sending you back to the drawing board, which is like coming from him. I was like, oh my God, he's telling me my jokes worked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was like, wow. He's like, just your delivery, your timing, like, is a mess, whatever, you know? And dude, he took me under his wing in a way he didn't have to, man.
Right.
We made a regular habit out of, like him going, then me going, then him going, whatever, and then sitting down and giving me notes.
And like you said with Mark Maron, I'm sure for those that have been doing comedy, they might have been hesitant to, you know, welcome somebody that's trying to dabble. So like for him to take you under your wing and
I don't even know. Like I just don't. I'm so grateful for Dane Cook. He put so much wind in my sails, you know. And then when Jackass 3D came out, at that point I was in the comedy club every night. And I went on Howard Stern to promote Jackass 3D, and I told Howard, yo, I've been doing stand-up every night, and, you know, here I'm in New York. I want to do a comedy gig tonight.
Yeah.
Right? Someone get me on stage. And I didn't have an agent at that time because the agent I had going into Jackass 3D, like, didn't do anything. I was like, I'll be damned if I'm going to give him 10% of this doing nothing. And so I fired my agent. I had no agent. But then after the Howard Stern thing, my lawyer called up. He says, hey, dude, I don't know what you did, but I'm getting calls from all over the country. People want to book you in comedy clubs.
Nice.
You know? And I was like, all right. I had, like, at that point, maybe, like, 20 minutes of material, and I'm going out headlining, which a lot of people, I can say a lot of people that have the right to be, you know, have feelings about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I dove into it, man, and I gave it hell. And dude, I put it together, man. You know, I saw Dane Cook again about a year later, and he says, "Dude, where you been, man?" I go, "Well, dude, since I saw you last, I've done stand up in I forget what the number was, but maybe like 10 different countries."
Wow.
Right, and I mean, I just the whole cycle of throwing out bits, replacing them with better ones, the whole evolution of it, and I was kind of like. For the first stretch, I was kind of like apologetic, like on my social media. I didn't want to be like, oh, stand up, you know, like, I'm just not apologetic anymore. You know, I've got a comedy special on Showtime. I'm thrilled with it.
Yeah.
I do heavy stunts. I really like bring everything that I'm capable of to it. Put on the best show I can. I'm still going 7 years deep with the comedy special. I'm ready to tape my second. Mm-hmm. And for my second one, it's a really big deal. Yeah. I'm making it a big deal. And I'm hiring our Jackass director, Jeff Tremaine, to direct it. And so we're doing it together.
Nice.
And that's why I'm swinging for the fences. And I'm covered in burns right now because it's like fully integrating both of my worlds of Jackass and stand-up. And it's just like the stand-up itself is probably crazier than the stunts. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's all pretty heavy. But I just approach stand-up the same way I approach stunts. I'm just reckless. I'm shameless. I'm reckless. And I just go for it. And that's why I've been successful, man. For all of the people who are famous for being actors or one thing, musicians, whatever, like, I don't even know. There's been a bunch of people who tried stand-up, and it was a disaster.
There's a bunch of actors that try to be musicians, a bunch of athletes that tried to be this or that. I mean,
sometimes it works and power to them. Sometimes it doesn't. But one thing is that if and I don't want to talk bad about Mark Maron because I respect him. But Joe Rogan is a dude. I had a conversation with Joe Rogan and he's like, dude, I just don't get it, man. He's like, if you love comedy, then you want more of it. I just want more comedy. He says, I've seen it. You're funny. You know, like, why would anybody have a problem? You can't to not encourage people. Joe Rogan said, I want my mailman to do stand up. He's funny. You know? And it's like, it's just like a mentality of abundance. Yeah. You know, if you're going to try to hold someone back or not accept them or be jealous, like, you're not plugged in. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not plugged into like the abundance of the universe. And if anybody wants to feel that way about me, I just don't care because I've proven myself.
Well, I mean, just the fact that you're a Comedy Works South this week, I mean, Comedy Works doesn't just bring anybody. They bring people that are serious about it and they love comedy. It's one of the best comedy clubs in the country. So the fact that you're there this weekend shows that, you know, you're doing what you need to do.
Not only am I doing what I need to do, I do way more because I bring physical like tricks and stunts to the stage in the comedy club. And that's with a lot of repetition and I'm covered in burns and it's going to hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have, like the tricks I do in the comedy clubs because of the repetition. I describe them more as physical feats that are like really like, you know, like, I mean, at the risk of sounding like a douche, it's impressive. You know, I put on like some stuff that you're really shocked and surprised to see that I'm able to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this weekend it's just going to hurt a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, you got to come give him that moral support while he's pushing through the pain.
If I can do the one thing, the greatest bar trick of all time, then I'm stoked. And I continue to do even more because after the show, every show, I take a photo with every single person that wants one. I just have a system. It's efficient. And I don't let anybody go home without a photo if they want one.
Just don't touch his arms. Don't this week. Don't be careful with this.
I might have a thing where because the burns, man. Like
we don't need 200 people grabbing your arms.
I know. I know, dude. But I'm thrilled, man. And I love to see Comedy FM channel. That's great.
Oh, it's great, man. And you know we're about to have our fifth birthday here coming in October.
Congrats,
coming
man.
Up quick.
Congrats.
And so it's been good. And before we wrap this up, I gotta say one thing because I mean anybody that grew up in the early 2000s or whatever, I mean, they grew up with Jackass. It was MTV was this. I mean, that
there was that. It was a phenomenon, man. There's
it was
no
huge.
Question.
But as much as Wild Boys was my age, Boys was my show. Like when this came out, like I mean, I got all six DVDs or whatever. Like I mean, this was one of the like to me, it was Jackass meets you know nature and all that. And I mean, this was my show. Like I loved this, and so. Like, I'm hoping that gets on Netflix or something soon so people can appreciate it.
It was on Netflix, and then it got pulled.
Oh, okay, cool.
I don't know what's going on behind the curtain, but I don't care. I just love it when people say they appreciate Wild Boys.
Yeah, yeah, that was my
such
show.
It's such an era. So great.
Well, we want to thank you for stopping by and, like I said, giving us some insight and, you know, what got you into comedy.
Sure, man. I love talking about comedy because, you know, every interview – it's like, what stunt do you regret? I'm like, you know, it's fine. I don't hate on it.
Well, you walked in. I didn't have to ask what you regret, it's cool.
But I don't regret it.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'd have a tough time doing it again. I might do it with less rocket engine fuel.
Oh, yeah, that might work.
Right.
Might be a good space. Well, like I said, dude, it's a beautiful weekend for this weekend. Go to comedyworks.com. Steve-O, thank you so much for making time for us. Go check out his shows this weekend. Like I said, comedyworks.com. And next time you're in Denver, definitely stop by Comedy 103.1.
I really appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.